यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। युगधर्म हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 23 देह तु सर्वसंघात जगत तष्टुः इति द्विधा अत्र एव मृग्यः पुरुषः न इति न इति इति अतत् त्यजन् देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तष्ठुर् इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन् देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तष्ठुर् इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन् देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुर इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुर इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्।
माताजी,
देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुर इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुर इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुर इति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देहस्तु सर्वसंघातो जगत्तस्थुरिति द्विधा अत्रैव मृग्यः पुरुषो नेति नेति यतत्यजन्। देह द बॉडी, तू बात, सर्वसंघातः द कॉम्बिनेशन ऑफ ऑल द 24 एलिमेंट्स, जगत सीन टू बी मूविंग, तस्थुः एंड स्टैंडिंग इन वन प्लेस, इति thus, dvidha, two kinds, atra eva, in this matter, mrigyaha, to be searched for, purushaha, the living entity, the soul, na, not, iti, thus, na, not, iti, thus, iti, in this way, atat, what is not spirit, tyajan, giving up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation: there are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul, a gross body made of five gross elements and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus, one must separate spirit from matter. Purport: as previously stated, Swarnam yatha gravasu hemakara kshetreshu yogistat abhigya apnuyat. An expert in the study of soil can find out where gold is and dig there. He can then analyze the stone and test the gold with nitric acid. Similarly, one must analyze the whole body to find within the body the spirit soul. In studying one's own body, one must ask himself whether his head is his soul, his fingers are his soul, his hand is his soul, and so on. In this way, one must gradually reject all material elements and the combinations of material elements in the body. Then, if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is the spirit soul living within the body. The greatest Acharya, Krishna, begins his teaching in Bhagavad Gita by saying, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatra na muhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. The spirit soul possesses the body and is within the body. This is the real analysis. The soul never mixes with the bodily elements. Although the soul is within the body, it is separate and always pure. One must analyze and understand his self. This is self-realization. Neti is the analytical process of rejecting matter. By expertly conducting such an analysis, one can understand where the soul is. One who is not expert, however, cannot distinguish gold from earth, nor the soul from the body.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guran Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalvadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayashri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so we'll read through the translation once more. There are two kinds of bodies for every individual soul. A gross body made of five gross elements and a subtle body made of three subtle elements. Within these bodies, however, is the spirit soul. One must find the soul by analysis, saying, this is not it, this is not it. Thus, one must separate spirit from matter. So here, looks like we are going to be discussing talks of a bunch of five-year-olds. Because it's Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his friends. And Prahlad Maharaj is a five-year-old child. But by the mercy of the spiritual master, he's able to speak on subjects like this that it's qualified to come up in a discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a little difficult for grown-ups like us to understand and speak. Discussing about the soul, we have been doing that since the day we joined this movement. We are not this body.
we are the soul.
And again, in the seventh canto, it still talks about trying to understand the soul, not the body. What does that mean? It means that to understand the soul, to know that we are not this body, we are the soul, is something very easy. We are not this body, we are the soul. But to realize that we are not this body, we are the soul, is very, very difficult. Reason being, we are attached to the body, attached to the things that are connected to the body. That's why the biggest fear is death. We don't know what's going to happen after we die. It's uncertain. We don't know. People have no idea. But once we dedicate ourselves under the lotus feet of Krishna, which is called Abhay Charan, then we have no fear of death. Because then we know, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned, that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. Eternal servants of Krishna means eternally we are doing service to Krishna. Many times, not many times, always in this material world, we are seeing that everybody wants to be the master. Everybody wants to enjoy. Everybody wants to control. It's very rare that a person tries to see that he's the servant. And if those of you who have tried to be the servant, you can realize this point, that being a servant gives much more pleasure than being the master. Very easy way to understand this is the relationship between the spiritual master, the guru, and the disciple. For all of us, it's very easy. He is the guru, I am the disciple. So it's very easy to surrender. Now when you are involved in completely, how to say, you have surrendered yourself completely to the spiritual master, he takes care. We have seen in our life happening. You have dedicated yourself, he takes care. But when you think yourself separate, as that something that you have to go forward and make an arrangement for yourself to enjoy, to control, you find it very, very difficult. I have seen, you know, the direct servants who are traveling with the sannyasis, with the gurus. They get everything served on the golden plate. You know, there is always, a group of disciples ready to give every facility to the servant of the spiritual master. Many Matajis are ready to cook whatever they ask for. You know, and I have known some servants like that. You know, the disciple comes up and says, what service can I do for the spiritual master? What can I give? Maybe I would like to give a new set of clothes, or maybe I would like to give, some new bead bag or something like that. And the disciple says, why don't you few people get together and buy the latest phone? Now the spiritual master doesn't need the latest phone. You know, he doesn't even have the phone. The phones are always with the disciple. But the disciple enjoys the phone. The spiritual master has no idea about it. You know, then it comes up, you know, the spiritual master has a diet. You know, he works, you know, he only can eat the boiled sabjis, you know, no salt, or he only eats, you know, he has diet. So, you know, disciples will make something for the guru, the diet. And then the servant, he gets, what would you like? Some pizza is good, some lasagna is nice. And he gets all the facilities. Why? Because he has dedicated himself to serve Krishna. I had a recent experience. I've always mentioned this in my class, but recently it happened again. We were out doing some service. We came back. And actually, I was waiting. This happened about a week ago. I was waiting for Radha Madhava's night plate to come out at 8:20. You know, it comes out. So you can go have friends with the pujaris. You can go eat. You know, they will give you something. You can go eat. But then I was, you know, we were involved in the service, and then we got in connection with some Vaishnavas. So we were talking and talking and talking and talking. It was 8:20, but the discussion was on Krishna, you know, it was based on Krishna. So we continued. Okay, you know, today we don't get a night plate. Okay, what to do? Fine. Discussion continues up to 9 o'clock. Okay, now we need to go back to school, you know, go to sleep. On the way, praying to Radha Madhava, my dear Lord, is there some possibility, because in Gurukul there is no prasadam. Is there some possibility to get some prasad? And we are walking down this way. And we come to Radha Madhava's kitchen. I see one of my friends, you know, just cleaning up last bits. I say, hey Prabhu, is there some prasadam left from the night plate? He said, no, sorry, everything finished. I'm like, bad luck. And there was a devotee next to him. He's like, hey, wait, I have a plate of khichdi left. You know, so, and then I went inside, saw perfect amount for one person. How does that happen? You are dedicated in, you know, serving Krishna, busy with doing, you know, Krishna katha, a little hungry, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night. So Krishna arranges. If not that, you know, if not the night plate, something else is there. So if you just have to dedicate yourself and just fully depend on Krishna, and he takes care. So that's what happens when one is surrendered to the spiritual master, to the Lord. Sri Prabhupada in the purport, he writes, he said, if one, you know, one should ask, is this my head, is the soul, my hand is the soul, my fingers are they the souls? What is the soul? And then, if one is expert and follows the Acharya, he can understand that he is the spiritual soul living within the body. We can only realize that we are the soul if we actually surrender to the spiritual master. And it says, then if one is expert, how does one become an expert? You know, you cannot just, when we were kids, you know, during examinations, you know, studying so hard, you know, trying to learn, because the whole year we spent playing and doing nonsense. So it's just the day before examination, what to do? So we have the book. And as a joke, our parents would say, why don't you just take the book and put it under the pillow and go to sleep? You know, all the knowledge will go inside your brain. As a joke. So you don't become an expert like that. You become an expert by, you know, when Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, pranipata, praniprasna and sevaya. You have to go approach a spiritual master. You have to humbly beg him. You have to serve him. And then when he is pleased with your service, he will give you the knowledge. When you have the knowledge, you become an expert. And then when you are an expert after studying the Shastra, then you can understand that I am a spirit soul. I am a living entity. I am not this body. The training for this is given the first day when we enter the temple. You are not this body. You are the soul. Right? But it takes, you know, so long to understand just a simple point. That we are not this body, we are the soul. Like 7th canto. We were yesterday in the school, in Gurukul, we were reading the introduction to the 1st canto. Introduction before, you know, starting Srimad Bhagavatam. And in there, Srila Prabhupada, he writes, it's very important to go step by step. You know, you start, chapter by chapter, shloka by shloka. You cannot just go to the 10th canto and start studying the 5 chapters of Rasa Dance. You know, even though many people like to do that. But to understand that, you have to first study the first 9 cantos. Then, you will become self-realized at the end of the 9th canto. So, from the very beginning, from the first canto, they start training. And we are quite close to the 9th canto. We are in the 7th canto when we are supposed to be self-realized. And we are still talking about, we are the soul. We are not this body. Very, very important point to note. You know, that we are the soul. Then, where is the soul? Where does the soul reside? So in I think it's, it mentions in Narayana Upanishad, it's just an information. In Narayana Upanishad, it mentions that the soul resides in the heart. So there was one pastime with Srila Prabhupada. There was a one devotee, he was a painter, he came. He came with a picture of Lord Vishnu. And around Lord Vishnu, he painted this red color. So Srila Prabhupada asked, "What is this red color?" He says, "Oh, Paramatma is in the heart." Okay, so but what is this red color? No, it's the blood, no? The heart is pumping the blood. So that's the red color. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that, his facial expression was just like... And he says, he doesn't know where the soul is. So the soul resides, it mentions in the Shastra, it resides. You have, that's your measurement, it's called one pradesha. It resides this much above the navel and this much below the hole of your throat. So if you put them together, it just ends up right in your solar plex. That's where Paramatma resides with the soul. You know, that's what Bhagavad Gita, when it says, the Jiva and the Paramatma, they are next to each other. So that's where exactly the soul resides. Now when we are talking about the soul, there are some material examples of what a person on the, you know, on the level when he, no, you won't say self-realized, but when he takes up his duty to be the most important, what can that jiva do? It's a few material examples. Okay, one material example in a pretty modern era. In 1960, there was a war between India and China in 1960-1962. And there was one soldier, he died in that war. His name was Harbhajan Singh. After his death, still, I think just still a few years ago, the Indian government was sending a full payment to his house. And just a few years ago, he got officially retired from his job. Now he died in 1962. You know, why would you just retire him now? It's a funny story behind that. That person, he died and he continued protecting the borderline over there till today. He's still there. Even, you know, they take the army, whatever, uniform. They put it over there next to his... They made a samadhi for him. They put it over there. They load his gun. Put it over there. And every morning when they come, they see, you know, the dress is like dirty, is used. Sometimes the bullets are missing in the in the gun. So they say it's that he's still there. Yes, many times they hear him. So they call him, you know, it's India. So anything special like this, immediately he gets... He's a sadhu, you know, he's something worshipable. So they say, you know, he's called now Baba Harbhajan Singh. Yeah. So that's what a soul can do when he is extremely dedicated in performing what he wants to do. So this is a material example, what it can do. Now if we shift this to the spiritual life and we try to understand, if we dedicate ourselves to serve Krishna, what we as jiva can do. And all the other sampradayas, Vaishnava sampradayas, they always say it will take you 14 lifetimes to go back to Godhead. Like the Madhvas, they say you perform devotional service here, you'll go to the heavenly planets. You perform devotional service in the heavenly planets, then you go, you know, go step by step, all the way to the, you know, to Satyaloka, the planet of Lord Brahma. And then you stay there with Lord Brahma, performing devotional service. And then, at the end of Lord Brahma's life, if Lord Brahma is a devotee, if he goes back to Godhead, then you all the jiva will go back to Godhead with Lord Brahma. Many times, unfortunately, Lord Brahma gets too much attached to the Karmakanda of the Veda, or the Jnanakanda section of the Veda, and not Bhakti. So then he goes up to the Lord Vishnu and he says, my dear Lord Vishnu, you are great, you are the absolute. You know, he does his prayers and he says, now please engage us again in your service of the creation. So he comes back. And all these people who were thinking that they will go back to Godhead with Lord Brahma, they come back to the material world. Fortunately, our Lord Brahma is a devotee. So those Madhvas who will reach Brahma Loka, they have a good chance to go back to Godhead. Or the Shris, their philosophy is for 100 lifetimes, you have to strictly follow Varanashram. And if you do that properly, you can go back to Godhead. Who can guarantee that? 100 lifetime of properly following Varanashram. It was only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and now by Srila Prabhupada that they say, at the end of this lifetime, we can go back to Godhead. Just this lifetime we have to worry about. We don't have to worry about all these hundreds of lifetimes. That means we have to dedicate ourselves to that level. Recently we were listening to a class from Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. I think it's a class or a reading a letter, I can't remember. But in there, Srila Prabhupada is in his, oh yes, that's right, it's an initiation class. And in that class, he's speaking about the four regulative principles. You know, following four regulative principles, chanting the 16 rounds every day. And he says, if you do this, I guarantee to take you back to Godhead. But if you don't follow the four regulative principles, don't follow chanting 16 rounds every day, I take no responsibility. Very clearly mentions, I don't take responsibility. How can he? We are not allowing him to take our responsibility by not following the four regulative principles, by not chanting our 16 rounds on a daily basis. And it's not very, very, but it's common that we don't chant 16 rounds. We try to catch up. I've even heard of devotees, you know, they have 200 rounds to catch up, 300 rounds to catch up. Happens. But that's not what it means by chanting 16 rounds every day. It means you chant 16 rounds every day. Srila Prabhupada said, if there is sometimes it happens that you cannot finish 16 rounds that day, you have to make sure you do it the next day. So if that much space he is giving us, we cannot do it today, we have to finish it the next day together with the next day 16 rounds. But we have to take responsibility of fulfilling our promise to the spiritual master. And then the spiritual master takes care. Again, that's the point of surrender. So we got to surrender. Then, Srila Prabhupada, I was reading through because of this shloka, Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe, and I went to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, tried to read. Srila Prabhupada talks about, you know, the jiva goes from boyhood to youth to old age, and at the time of death, he changes body. At that point, Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned one point, but the jiva has a tendency to fall down. That's his tendency. He works hard, something goes wrong, falls down. And a very good example is Vishwamitra. Performed austerity 10,000 years. You know, nicely following everything. Indra didn't like the idea of Vishwamitra performing austerities. Send Menaka. Boom. 1 second. Lost. You know, 10,000 years lost in one moment. Again, sat down. 10,000 years. Again, austerities. Again, Indra gets a little disturbed. He goes, and when it's time to come for him to perform his breaking his fast, Indra comes and starts begging from him. And he eats everything. Became angry. Again fall down. Yeah. Then again he performs austerity. Another 10,000 years. 30,000 years of austerity. And then he achieves success. Because in the 30,000 years, he understood he should not be lusty. He should not be greedy. He should not be angry. Because in Bhagavad Gita it says, lust, anger and greed are the three doorways to hell. So then after performing severe austerities for 30,000 years, then he became
pacified.
And then he got the title of,
how do you say?
Not Rajarshi, Brahma Rishi. And he's the Brahma Rishi. And he got the name Vishwamitra. He's the friend of the whole universe. But before that, fall. If that can happen to rishis that big, what is our status? Where do we fall? For us, to fall down is so easy. Unless we stick on, you know, we hold on, grab on to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. If you can do that, it's okay, no problem. He will take care. It's very, very important that we are surrendered to the spiritual master, to Krishna. If you are surrendered, like, you know, the example of the servants of the sannyasis, of the spiritual masters, they don't have to do much. They are taken fully care of. Recently, I was having a discussion with His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj, just having a friendly conversation, just an informal conversation. And something came up, and he was saying that one devotee was complaining about, you know, sannyasis getting all the facilities. Whenever they go to some big temple, you know, they get their separate rooms, they get their, you know, there are people ready to wash their clothes, the food is made for them, everything is done. But when some Grihastha Vaishnava goes, or a brahmachari who is not an authority in the temple, when he goes, not much facility is provided. Yeah, so at that time he says, yes, because as a sannyasi, you are supposed to renounce everything and serve Krishna. So when other grihasthas, when they see that this person has nobody they take care, so naturally they feel that they should take care. So that's why you see, you know, the brahmacharis and the sannyasis walking around with the latest phones or the tablets or, you know, the latest facilities. And grihasthas are still using, you know, the Nokia phone, you know. Because, you know, they have surrendered themselves. So people feel they should take care. And then when many people feel the same thing, you get nice facility. But at the same time, you have to sacrifice. You know, an example is the Grihastha Vaishnavas, they are, you know, they have so many engagements. You know, they have to take care of the family, you know, do some either their business or their job. At the same time, they are performing devotional service. So it's a little difficult. So how, and the brahmacharis, they have nothing to do other than just sitting down, perform devotional service. So how do you find a balance? Grihasthas take care of brahmacharis. You know, whatever needs they have, they fulfill. And brahmacharis, because they have studied, you know, they keep on studying, they are under a teacher, or, you know, they study, they are performing sacrifice, they have nothing else to do other than doing studying, performing service. So they have a lot of realization. So they share them with the Grihastha Vaishnavas. And when both of them, you know, they are helping each other, that's when everybody can progress. That's why Shripad Rupa Goswami, he mentions in Nectar of Instruction, you know, that there are six loving exchanges that are done between devotees. You know, you give gifts, you receive gifts. You reveal your mind in confidence. You let others reveal their mind in confidence to you. You give prasad, you receive prasad. These are the six loving exchanges between devotees. Can be between anybody. And when we do that, Krishna is pleased. He sees, oh, look at these devotees. Like Srila Prabhupada said, you can show me that you actually love me is by cooperation. You know, you work together. And you work together for the same goal. We want to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And then when we do that, and we work together nicely, then we get nice result. But when the problem comes, when we don't work together, when there is a lack of surrender, you know, so that's comes problem. Okay, so I think we will end here. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Ro.
Ro, you can give him a mic.
Hare Krishna. There's something in my mind that really bristles or rejects the idea that if a person is in saffron and has a nice tablet and a nice phone, that's the symbol of his renunciation. Somehow or other, my mind really is bothered by that idea. It sounds really off to me, and I was wondering maybe you'd like to speak a little bit more on that, because it doesn't sound right to me. That's all.
Okay. What I was trying to explain is that because you have sacrificed, you know, brahmacharis, they have much things to be attached to. And sannyasis, they have given up their attachment. So they don't have much things to deal with. So that's why, naturally, the grihasthas, they feel that they want to take care. So that's why they provide. You know, and then the same way, the brahmacharis, they are supposed to reveal their realizations. So both of them, they help each other. So that was the point. So that's why you see brahmacharis walking around with the nice fancy phones. And like that. So that was, is that okay? Okay. Yes, Ru. Take the mic, Ru.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned Lord Brahma. He is too much attached to Karma Kanda or Jnana Kanda. But does he see Lord Vishnu then, if he is too attached, while not being in devotion?
See, he is still the creator. He gets the information of how to create the universe from Lord Vishnu. He has the direct access. You know, when the demigods have some difficulty, they go up to Lord Brahma, they go to the ocean of milk, and then Lord Vishnu communicates it through Lord Brahma.
Still, he has a personal association with him.
It's not personal association, it's always through meditation. Like you read in Krishna book, you know, he doesn't see Krishna directly. Or Krishna doesn't appear directly, but then, you know, or they don't hear him. So Lord Brahma sits down in meditation, and then they see that there is a communication through Lord Vishnu. But now in some cases, some Lord Brahma, they either get attached to the Karma Kanda section of the Veda, which is still pious. You know, he became Lord Brahma because he is the most pious living entity in the universe. You know, or, you know, he becomes too attached to the Jnana Kanda of the Veda and not necessarily understands the Bhakti Kanda of the Veda. But still, he has the interaction because he is the most pious person in the universe.
The question is because, as I know, Lord Vishnu appears only to his pure devotees.
Means he gives the story of Vritrasura. You know, when he's standing in front of Indra, he says, you know, because Indra uses the club and Vritrasura grabs it with his left hand and hits it on the head of Airavata, and Airavata goes flying back a few hours, and you know, Indra falls off. And Vritrasura, that time, he's saying, this is the sign that you have no faith in Krishna. Lord Vishnu told you, use the vajra and I will die. But you don't have faith. You are using the club. And don't you think that, you know, Lord Vishnu gave you the idea to take the vajra, that's why he's favoring you. He says, don't you think like that? He's favoring us. Because when I die, I will go back to Godhead. You will be sitting here in this material world. So the demigods, they are the post holders. You know, they are taking care of the management. So sometimes the boss has to deal with these managers. So yes, Krishna deals with them. But it also says in the Shastra that they are neophyte devotees. You know, because they approach Krishna only in the time of need. When there is no need, they are enjoying. When it's happy, they are enjoying. They don't remember Krishna. That's why they are neophyte devotees. But still, Krishna has to deal with them. Because they're still going up to Krishna for help. Is that okay, bro? Yes, Mataji. Mataji over there.
Hare Krishna. Yeah. My question was that you mentioned Rishi. And lately I had a lot of experience of meeting a lot of Munis. And I remember my Guru Maharaj was saying about Shaubari Muni, because he was also like...
Which Muni?
Shaubari Muni. Mm. He was also very, very renounced, sitting underwater. And then when he was enjoying so many years, and then after that he figured out that I was more satisfied when I was underwater.
Yeah.
so really, I heard one Mataji, she told me recently, she said, every Muni has his own opinion.
Yes.
Right? So it's not like all devotees are Narada Munis or something. So I just wanted to clarify this difference between Rishis and Munis.
Means what's the difference between the two? There is a technical difference, which I don't really know. Because specifically for Narada Muni, sometimes he's referred to as a Rishi, and sometimes he's referred to as a Muni, Devarshi. So, I very vaguely remember Rishis generally grihasthas, and they have their, they live more together, whereas Munis, they are more brahmacharis or sannyasis. It's something vaguely I remember, but I would have to look it up. I'm not sure fully, but there is some technical difference between the two. Any other question? Comments? No? Okay, so we'll end here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.